Kingdom greetings to all of you. Let's open our Bibles in Revelation chapter 2. And today the title of my message is I'm continued with a call to not compromise. A call to not compromise. The message to Pergamum, the church in Pergamum. When for those of us that read the book of Revelation, you remember what happened with the seven churches, especially with, in Revelation, the letters that was written to those seven churches. And this week I was reading chapter 2, verse 12 to 17 again. And something it's like, you know, sometimes you know something and once again you get another revelation. You're like, oh man, the message of Christ, what Jesus had said to the church is relevant today. Still stand for today. The word of God will never fail. As a matter of fact, it says in the Old Testament, the word of the Lord will not, God's word will do what it was purposed to do. Okay? So the church in Pergamum, instead of being different, a different church, they added the world in their culture. So let's read it. Let's see what happened. Revelation chapter 2, verse 12 to 17. It says, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Pergamum. This is the message from the one with the sharp two-edged sword. I know that you live in the city where Satan has his throne. Yet you have remained loyal to me. You refused to deny me even when Antipas, my faithful witness, was martyred among you there in Satan's city. But I have a few complaints against you. You tolerate some among you whose teaching is like of Balaam, who showed Balak how to trip up the people of Israel. He taught them to sin by eating food offered to idols, by committing sexual sin. Verse 15. In the same similar way, you have some Nicolaitans among you who followed the same teaching. Verse 16. Repent is changing. Repent of your sin, or I will come to you suddenly. Oh my goodness. I will come to you suddenly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Verse 17. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give some of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven, and I will give to each one a white stone. And on the stone I will engrave a name that no one understands except the one who receives it. Amen. And if you agree with God's word, of course you agree. All God's people who agree with God's word, you say, Amen. You know, for a while I was saying, if you agree, and somebody says, well, we all agree. And then I got it. Yeah, that's right. You all here agree with God's word, right? Oh, that's good. You know, faith is essential when facing ungodly influence. Faith is essential when facing ungodly influence. What's okay in society a lot of times is not okay in the gospel. That's why we need to know the culture of the gospel. You know, they called the church in Pergamos the church that was married to the culture. The church that sleeps with sinners. You know, in the book of Revelation, John addresses seven churches. And I think I sent this. My next slide shows what? The routes, right? So John was on the island of Patmos. He got the revelation, and the route went like this. Ephesus, Smyrna, and Pergamum. So today I'm in Pergamum, all right? And my next slide. You guys remember this? Are we studying this in home group? I think in home group we can, this week in my home group in Virginia Beach, we went over this, and everybody should understand this. If, you know, during the sermon, it's like, you see this, there's a lot of things that might just go over your head. This is what we call the end timelines. End times, timeline, even. You know, Jesus' resurrection, at the time Jesus resurrected, they start counting the time. Till the end time. We don't know when end time going to happen. But we know it began at resurrection. So Jesus lived on earth for 40 days and 40 nights. We have 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about that. And Jesus, about, 40 people, about 500 people, about 500 people saw Jesus and witnessed that he was raised from the dead. And then, of course, Jesus went to heaven. You remember what it said? He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said to the disciples, "You wait in Jerusalem until the Father sent to you the Parakletos," which means the power. It's completely impossible to serve God without the Holy Spirit. Christian life is dead without the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. We all need the Holy Spirit. Look at your neighbor. Help me out. Say, you need the Holy Spirit. Look somebody. Look at somebody. Come on. Come on. Help me. Yeah, please. Help me out. Tell me. I need the Holy Spirit. You see, and the Holy Spirit I'm talking about is not the crazy. Well, you know, people sometimes they make the Holy Spirit look crazy, you know. It's not the craziness stuff. I'm talking about the Spirit of power. You know, and that's what it says here in Pergamum. Pergamum was the church that was dwelling with sin, dwelling with the world. They were religious, but they denied the power that could change them. You know those religious people? They're so religious. Hallelujah. They can be loud too, okay? Or they could be very quiet. They could be like, you don't eat this, you don't do that, you don't wear this, you don't go there, you don't, there's a list of you don't do. And they're good at it. But the power that could deliver them from sin, they denied the Holy Spirit. There is no church without the Holy Spirit. Can I have a witness? There is no victory without the Holy Spirit. There is no joy without the Holy Spirit. There's no joy without the Holy Spirit. So, Jesus went to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit. And you know, the disciples, they went, how many days they waited? Do you guys remember? 40 days? No, how many days? I can't remember. Pentecost. But it's for 40 days? Okay, thank you. 40 days they waited. Should preach on that again. Wait. We don't like to wait. Us Americans, thank you. I don't like to wait. Can I have a witness? I don't like to wait. That's why they invented microwave. Nailed that, right? We don't like to wait. But I hear the best time to heat up your food is to boil it on the stove. That's too much work. You know? So, we don't like to wait. Huh? You might leave it on the stove. Yeah. You know, so the Holy Spirit, Jesus went to heaven and sent us the Holy Spirit. But the disciples, they waited for 40 nights and 40 days. How long will you wait until you experience the power? How long would you set yourself in the position to be like, you know what, God, I'm not moving until I encounter you? There's a story. There's a story in of a missionary. You guys, some of you might know her. I won't mention her name, but she was a missionary in Africa. And the Lord was really using her for miracles and healing and a lot of stuff, you know. And it does work when you don't have 911, when you don't have Centura General Hospital down the road. Faith sometimes really works. I mean, all those things, thank God. What I'm saying is they're not bad. We live in a country, I tell you, sometimes we should take some people to a third world country and have them live for 3 months there so they can come back to America with a different attitude. Different perspective. You know, and you're like, well, how come in a third world country people believe and they see a miracle? You know why? Because when faith is the only thing you have to fall on, it works. That's why I tell you this. Don't wait till life gets rough to live by faith. Live by faith now. Even I'm going to drive home to Chesapeake. I'm going to live by faith because I might not cross Princess Anne. Oh, we don't think like that. I count on Jesus and the Holy Spirit for healing. So the Lord was using that missionary for healing. I mean, great stuff. Praise to Jesus. And then somebody was interviewing her and said, well, no, you know what? Tell us how does it happen? You know, because you, she was very humble and stuff. And she said, as a missionary, I spent 8 hours my belly Sunday night before Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. And she could
maybe she takes a nap, but the idea is she lay down 8 hours. 8 hours waiting. 8 hours waiting. Say we don't like to wait. Do you want to see the manifestation and the power, the evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Oh, I do. Oh, I do. So therefore, I do not negotiate the time I go after Jesus. Because I know my life depends on it. And I say, none of you have the excuses. You know why? Because I remember back in 2006, 2000, maybe 2007, 2008. I had to have two jobs. I went from 6:30 to like 4, and then I needed extra money. I delivered pizza. Or I did some other things. And, I mean, I did that to take care of my wife and 3 small children. But I also was very involved in my church. When you want to do something, when you want to go after it, nothing will stop you. And my prayer is that you would want to go after Jesus. You would want to go after the real thing. You know, because a lot of time I hear excuses. It's all excuses. Because the things we stay up late at night to do. The things we wake up in the morning to do, very early to do. But, you know, God sent revival where there is prayer. A church that's not praying is a dying church. It's a dead church. This Friday, when we call for prayer, I challenge all of you to make it a priority Unless you know you're on call like Dr. Aaron. Yes, I understand that. But you make it a priority to be here and come. Talk to people. You know people in your life that are just struggling with their Christian life? Just invite them. Guys, Christ is returning. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. See, the message to the church in Pergamum is relevant to us today. You know, so her answer, the missionary's answer was, I spent 8 hours a day just being with Jesus, being with Abba. Do you know when you spend time with somebody, you start talking like them? Sometimes I find myself want to say, yeah, buddy. I say it. Why? Because I hang out with Dan. I say it. Probably all of you. Dan's like, he rubbed on you. He rubbed on all of us. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, that's right. I never used to say yeah, buddy before. That's a good thing. If you know me, I was like, well, you've been hanging out with Dan. I want to hang out so much with Jesus. When people smell me, they smell Jesus. I want to hang out with Jesus so much. When I go through a tough time in life, people would be like, okay, what's going on with you? I'm like, well, it's just Jesus. I want us, this church, to be so after the heart of Jesus. When people come here, they're either going to stay or the fire of God would be like too much for them. They got to run away. You know, people who likes darkness, they don't like light. That's what I want. And nothing will stop me. And I think the message to Pergamum is a reminder to all of us. You know, when you look at this, what do you call this again? No, tableau. What's picture? My goodness, picture. I just had my brain just stopped. It's a picture, right? It's a picture. Slide, yeah, slide. Presentation. Oh my goodness, I just had a blink right there. Blink. Next one. Next one. The next one. So Jesus went to heaven, and then he sent the Holy Spirit. Then begin the church age, all right? Church age. Right now, we are in the church age, and we don't know when the church age will stop, okay? But as one thing we know, the church age will stop when the rapture happened, okay? And I talk about that already, and in our home groups, we talk more about it. I know in my next home group in Chesapeake, we're going to talk about the rapture a little bit. Okay, so next one. And then, you know, Jesus comes, then end the church age. Now, the summary for Pergamum. Pergamum is what we call, in the Bible, it says it's the church was called the compromising church. A church who compromised the truth. You know, the season for the church in the Pergamum church was 312 to 606 AD. The other day we had a really nice discussion in our home group, and it's like I never thought about it, but I'm like, you know, maybe I'll just bring it up Sunday morning just to clarify and make it clear for some or all most people. You know, you hear a lot of people talking about 70 AD. 20 before death, I mean before Christ, BC, you know? And something for you to remember is the AD stand for Anno Domini, which is a Latin word which means the time begin at the birth of Christ. So when they're talking about 300 AD, that means it's 300 from the birth of Christ, not from the ascension of Christ. That's clear? We move on. Okay, so that idea came from the birth of Christ when you study church history. So that's very clear. Anno Domini. Anno Domini, which means you start counting the time from the birth of Christ. And then, of course, you know, BC, that's before Christ. You're talking about time before Christ. Pergamum was located on the one of the map I showed you, was located 50 miles north of Smyrna, which would be about 85 miles north of, 85 miles north of Ephesus. Okay, so of course, you know, we're going north. The messenger is going north. Okay, just like Smyrna, the believers experienced persecution for their faith in Christ. And as John noted, the believers remained true to their faith in the name of Jesus. So the charge for all of us today is that we remain, I encourage you, remain faithful. Because you don't pay, what they say, you don't pay the beginning, right? Especially in your walk with God. The end. That's why it says in verse 17, those, okay, I want to read it, verse 17. It says, anyone with ears must listen to the Spirit and understand what is being said to the church. And everyone who is victorious, that's talking about at the end there. Everyone who is victorious. So you can't be like, man, oh, I remember when I used to be on fire for Jesus. You remember the complaint for the church in Ephesus? Come back to your first love. There's nothing like losing your first love for Jesus. And I talk about a couple weeks, how do you rekindle your first love? Or how do you rekindle your first love? You spend time in worship. You spend time in prayer. You spend time with people that are on fire for Jesus. That's how you rekindle your love for Jesus. And you do you examine yourself. You see where you're at with your passion. You feel like, I have no passion for Jesus. Like every time they talk about fasting, praying, you have a headache. You know? Yeah. Every time they talk about kingdom things, you know, your body, you feel like there is a 500-pound spirit that drop on you. Can't move. But then if they say, well, let's go to a concert. Oh, yeah, let's go. They say, well, let's go to this party. Man, party, let's go, baby. You're all about going party. Just think about it. The things of heaven, any believer on fire for Jesus will want to do it. Will want to go after it. See, in the book of, message to Pergamum, Jesus' title is this. Him who has the sharp double-edged sword. You see, in the Bible, every time they mention the sharp two-edged sword, it also making reference to the Word of God. You remember Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4? It says the Word of God is like two-edged sword. The Word of God comes where there is like soul and spirit, bones and marrows are one and separates it. Wow. The double-edged swords. The double-edged sword was also a weapon that was used in battle during that time. So no matter how it was used, that weapon would cut deep. I mean, it was a very, pristine weapon. Very, extremely sharp. I know some of you guys, you like knife, you know. I hear... I'm at peace with it, but I was hanging out with a couple guys for a while. The thing was, a real man has a handkerchief and a knife. You know? Man, after a while, I start feeling like, man, I must not be a man because I really don't care about a knife. Feel like I actually try to start carrying a knife, but I always forget it. But I know guys that are in knives. I mean, they love knives. Double-edged, sharp. I mean, it's like the thing, any any move cuts deep. That's what it says here. No matter how it was used, that weapon would cut deep. You see, in Revelation chapter 2, John's making reference that Jesus has that two-edged sword. Now, you wonder why the enemy never want, I mean, for years, the enemy start to get the church away from the Word of God. Because the Word of God corrects. The Word of God rebuke. The Word of God teaches us how to live a righteous life. You wonder why, what happened, I mean, why, I mean, in anybody in right, their right mind would decades ago decided, you know what, we're going to take the Bible out of our public life. And when you read the Constitution, there's a lot of biblical principle in the Constitution. And you wonder why our society is the way it is. You wonder why the church has become a laughingstock for the world. They call the church a joke. Well, thank God that's changing. Even though if sometimes you feel like, man, the world's laughing at the church, the pure bride of Christ remain. You are it. Can I have a witness? You are it. You're not compromising. I'm not compromising. I'm growing from glory to glory. Your walk with the Lord is a lot better than it was last year, right? You are more in love with Jesus than a couple months ago, right? Do we fall? Yes. Do you do things you're not supposed to do? Do you think things you're not supposed to think? Yes. But I bet some of you are more in love with Jesus today than last Sunday. Can I have a witness? Listen, don't let the devil beat on you. You know what? You're so bad. You fall again. You did it again. Stop it. You say, get away from me, Satan. Because the truth of the matter is, God doesn't see you as, you know, you poor you. He sees you through Jesus Christ. That's why when we come before the Lord, we come through the blood of Jesus. And we embrace, we said, we believe this word. So my brothers and sisters, the word of God will cut deep and divide the truth from errors in your life. That's why when you discourage, you don't want to read it. And I keep telling people, I mean, I'm thankful for my women. We've been married for 23 years. But at first, we didn't have a good marriage. But I thank God for the word. The word of God taught me how to be a good husband. The word of God taught me how to be a good citizen. I've done studies to be a pastor. I mean, yeah, Bible school is great. All those degrees and certification is all good. But you know how I learned to be a good pastor? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. I was going to say Acts, but it's Acts. I'm trying to translate that song in Creole. I have a song in Creole in my head. But anyway, I've learned. How do I learn to be a good neighbor? This is it. I was a bad cheater when it comes to doing business. I was a car salesman in Haiti. I mean, I'd sell people the junk make them think, thank God, I'm saved. Bad business. I can sell you anything. But I couldn't sell a car in America, though. But I was a salesman in Haiti. You buy those junk cars, you kind of fix them and hide the sin and get people to fall in love with it, and then you sell it. I remember the day I got convicted. Ricardo, this is not right. I changed. And I didn't stop selling cars. I kept selling cars, but the right way. The two-edged sword. You know, and that's also judgment. When Jesus comes, he's going to come and judge the world and the church. with his word. The word of God will cut through all the spiritual false teaching and worldly lies. You are my God, you are my Father. There's a song we sing. You delivering me from the father of lies. Fear is a liar. Satan is the father of lies. Satan can only get you to believe a lie. The moment you believe the lie, you can't do it. You ugly, you know. They don't love you, you know. These people this, these people that. The moment you start believing it, I tell you, then he's like, I got him. Mm-hmm. I just wanted you to believe that lie. You'll never do it. And you're like, oh, I can't do it. I can never serve God. You know, God doesn't love me. He's like, yep, I got it. Yep, I got it. You wonder why it's so easy for people to believe lies than believe the word of God. When God says, you're my beloved, why can't you believe that you are? Why is it so easy for you to believe, man, you're worthless, you're ugly, you're fat, you're too skinny, you're not tall enough, you should have been yellow, you should have been purple, and all these. Why do you have to believe that? Why don't you believe and accept the word of God? Because that will change you. When you walk somewhere, you're going to walk like you own it. Because you are the beloved son and daughters of God. Please listen. Accept the word of Jesus. Believe it. Stop believing the lies. You might have someone in your life that sowed the seeds of lie in your life. They were being used by Satan. But now it's a new story. You believe the truth. So the word of God will cut through all the spiritually false teaching and worldly lies. There's a lot of false teaching out there. Be careful. There is tons of false teaching. You know, there are, the crazy thing is, it's like there are preachers that have been preaching for years. A couple months ago, there's one of them that came out. He said, you know, guys, one of the things I've been teaching you about, just discard it. All the books, all the sermons I've preached, just discard it. I mean, this guy's been preaching this thing for, you remember, I mean, can you imagine? That's why, even as I preach you this, you make sure what I'm talking about is not my personal conviction. Don't take people's word for it. Learn it. Read it. Young kids, young adult, grown-ups, know it. I got to know the truth, especially now with social media, TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat. It's the false teacher is right in front of you. You don't have to look for it. The truth is so hard. I mean, if I want to make 1 million view right now, I can just start some crazy gossip. But if I get on there in front of a camera and say, you know what, Jesus loves you. You know, you're worth it. I tell you, I might have 5 views for 2 months. Probably have one person that shares it. But if I go up there and I start cursing, I start showing my private parts. It's crazy. I know. I know some of us older crowds, you can't imagine that. I tell you, that stuff is out there. Before you know it, you have 1 million views. And people are sharing 50,000 views. Dirty cells. False cells. Who wants the truth? I tell you, not this generation. The word of God will separate and clearly reveal the truth from error. The word of God cuts deep, much like a double-edged sword, used properly on battlefield, like the one John making reference. The word of God also reveals sin and brings spiritual healing and life to those who believe it. That's it. The word of God brings healing to those who believe it. That's why I pray here, guys. Don't become, I know Jack Frost called those people the frosties. You know, people that goes to the doctors. I mean, of course, none of us do that, because when you go to the doctor, you believe the doctor and you're going to follow through. Because if you don't follow through, bad things might happen to you. But I pray that you do not become people that hear the word, hearers. You hear the truth. You hear the truth and you never change. Those are the people at the end of the day, Jesus says, oh, I never knew you. Or you've been coming to church for 40 years, but you never apply my word. You knew. Pastor Ricardo preached. Pastor X and Y Z before Ricardo preached this word. You've been through all these meetings. Well, you've never, how come you're not living it? Living it. Where you know you need to change in your life, you change. Relationships. You know, next month is our mission month. And I also want to take some time to talk about the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. I feel like there's a lot of us that still needs to deal with bitterness. Bitterness. Holding grudge. Can't move on. It's got to stop, guys. When will you experience the joy of the Lord? I mean, you're so free. I'm so free. I can dance. I'm free to be. I am free. There's a song like that. Right? There's a, I am free to run. I am free. We got to sing that song sometimes to see what people do. You know, because those songs are one of those songs, you know, I feel, I feel like dancing. It's one of those songs, you know, people sing, oh, I feel like dancing, standing straight. They sing, oh, I feel like dancing. But I am free to, I am free to live, I am free to dance, I am free to lift my hands, raise my hands, I am free to shout, hallelujah, Jesus is alive. Come on, somebody. I am free, guys. And you also can be free. You are, as a matter of fact, you are free. I am free to talk to someone about Jesus. I am free to tell someone God loves them. Because I can tell them a testimony. Each of you here has a testimony. You have a history. You have a story to tell them. You know, the word of God cuts. Notice I'm putting a lot of emphasis on the word of God. It cuts deep. Also, the word of God will accomplish all that it is designed. This is it. I mentioned that earlier. Instead of to accomplish when it's used to correctly. The word of God will accomplish everything it's designed to do. But you have to accept it. Well, I remember in my life, when I begin to accept the word of God, I read it. It hurts. Oh, man. But I have to accept it. I said accept. I accept it. So what am I going to do? I'm going to do exactly what it says. So I'm going to ask this person for forgiveness. Even though I think I'm right. I think he's wrong. But I'm going to be like, you know what? And so I ask you to forgive me. Actually, just did recently do that with somebody in my family. I was right. But I'm encountering Jesus. And I just want to be free. I want to be free. I'm like, I want to fly. I don't want to have anything in my conscience. And then the Lord's like, well, then what about so-and-so? I said, well, what about it? He's like, well, you hate him. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I said, but I forgive him. He's like, yeah, but you really don't like him. I said, think I should? You need to. I said, okay, I will. So on my way home, got my phone, and I was like, well, yeah, but Lord, I forgive him. You know, I don't have to talk to them. And I remember, Your brother's sister's mother, father, you didn't choose them. God gave them to you. So as much it depends on you, have peace with all of them. You don't have to change them. Don't preach to them. I'm a preacher. And there's nothing like you know you're right and your siblings coming out, well, you're a preacher, you shouldn't do that. But I'm right. But then when I read the word of God, you're like, okay, God, I just have to humble myself and ask them, well, I'm sorry that you felt that I judged you. Would you forgive me for that? Would you forgive me for that? Would you? Well, okay, well, I forgive you. I said, thank you. Oh, man, I'm so free now. Do you believe God's word? Him who has the sharp, two-edged sword is in our midst, King Jesus. And I beg King Jesus every week. I'm like, Lord, please, don't let me come here and not bring your two-edged sword. Because judgment is on me. But if you listen and you don't obey, it's on you. So obey the word. Obey God's word in your life. You will succeed. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. That's a verse most of you probably know already. Joshua chapter 8, 1 verse 8. The one with the two-edged sword. Joshua 1, 8. Thank you, Lord. Find it. Study this book of instruction correctly. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. Wow. Study the book of instruction. Study the Bible. May this book of the law never get away from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Meditate on it, so you will be sure to obey everything. You're like, everything? Yes. Yes, everything. Because it's not by power. It's by my spirit. We all fall short. But the more I live by the spirit, the more I live by the word, the easier it is for my flesh to surrender. The biggest problem is our flesh and our souls. But when you tell your soul, listen, my soul, why so, David when he said, why so downcast, oh my soul? I mean, David had a really heated argument with his soul. He's like, my soul, why are you so grumpy? My soul, why are you so discouraged? Put your hope in the Lord. My soul, put your hope in the Lord. Don't put your hope in people. Put your hope in Jesus. And then he praised God. I tell you, David, when you read the Psalms, David went through a lot. It says, then, only then you will prosper. When? When I obey everything that's in the Word. Everything that's in the Word. Everything that's in the Word of God is available for us to succeed. Young people, if you want to succeed, it's awesome to have a degree. It's awesome to have a trade, to know what you want to do. But there's no success outside of Jesus. There's no success in marriage outside of Jesus. If you don't put Jesus Christ in the center of it, it's like there's no marriage. What God intended to be, two people become one. There's no such a thing. The one with the two-edged sword, which is the word of God. I'm going to read that again. It says, study the book, this book of instruction, continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. Do you want success in all you do? Can I have a better witness? Do you want success in all you do? Young kids now, do you want, I mean, some of you are like just freshly coming up. Do you want success in all you do? Do you? Do you? Well, let's read this again. Let's read it with this again. It says, verse 8, Joshua, it says, study the book. If you knew where I come from, if you knew how I blew the box from where I come from, if you knew how I've succeeded in my family, and my success didn't come from America. Oh, I was already a success in Haiti. Why? Because of Jesus. I met Jesus. I grew up in the church, like a lot of you. I grew up in the church, but never knew Jesus. Never knew Jesus. I mean, I even got baptized before I was a Christian. You see how messed up that was? Because I didn't understand. I guess people were getting baptized in the church I was going to. I was a musician. I loved playing the guitar. And there was that once a year big meeting they wanted to do. And one year I went to the meeting. They said, well, I can't go in because I'm not a member. I said, well, I play every day. Every week I play. What are you talking about? I'm not a member. They said, well, you're not a member. I said, well, I thought I was a member. They said, well, you're not baptized in water. So their principle was, for you to be a member, I had to be baptized. I said, what? Where's the water? Baptize me right now. Because I got to go play. I actually got baptized in water because I wanted to go play guitar. And I thought that was ridiculous because they that day they didn't let me in. I was so mad. Then I got baptized. A couple years later, I went to the ministry school. I'm reading Matthew. By chapter 8, I realized, I was like, man, I'm not a Christian. Because when I looked in the perfect law of Christ, and I look at my life, and I realize I never surrendered to Christ, then I bent my knees in July 1996. I bent my knees. I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I went through a tough time. You know, my parents' marital issues. There were six of us. We went through a tough time. All of us were going through private school. And then here's your dad, who was the provider, decided he's not paying the school anymore. But you know what? I was desperate for Jesus. I met Jesus. I grew from glory to glory. My last year of school, I'm still trying to figure out who paid it. And I'm thinking, I still can't remember, but I remember. Sometimes I'm like, was it an angel? I don't know. Because I remember I went to school from September till January. I couldn't pay the school. I was just like, man, I'm crying. And I'm like, Lord, what am I doing, Jesus? You know, I'm just crying out to Jesus my last year of school. You know, I'm like, Lord, what do I do? So finally, they caught me and sent me home. And I'm crying. Went home. Quiet for weeks. And I think for 2 weeks I didn't go to church. And on the third week I went to church and I remember there's a lady, she saw me in church. She's like, Ricardo, where have you been? She says, I've been looking for you. I said, I was discouraged, you know, I'm crying, you know, I'm gonna not being able to finish high school and all that stuff. She said, the Lord put in my heart to give you this. And she gave me some money enough to pay the whole year. Guys, still today, I don't even remember her name nor her face. That's why I said, if only you knew the power of the word in your life, you will succeed in all you do, all your businesses. In the community I grew up, people saw it. People are like, man, something special with this guy. I was like, nothing special. This is it. So you know what I started doing? I took my little brothers and sisters. I just started teaching them. I was like, guys, this is it. You got to make sure you're a Christian. We grew up in church. I grew up in church. We went to all-night prayer meeting a lot. Man, that's a lot of sleep I lost for nothing. So in conclusion for today, you see, I only got to, if you put that slide up, the Jesus where it says, the next one, the summary for Pergamum. I only got to Jesus' title, where it says, in him who has the sharp double-edged sword. And I wanted to spend some time right there to show you the importance of the word again in the church. A church that has compromised the word was a dead church. And I'm not even at the complaint yet, because I want to stop there. But however, if the word of God is ignored, muzzled, not listened to, or adhered to, or not shared, it will do nothing for the person who is living in rebellion to the things of God. That's why I encourage you, church, don't ignore the word of God. Pick it up. I know your phone is great. I know you've got 5 different Bible apps in your phone. That's awesome. But this fails you. It fails me many times. My phone and my iPad. But there's nothing like this. Buy yourself a Bible. If you don't have one, talk to me. I won't buy you a Bible. You got to buy your own Bibles. Seriously, that's one thing you don't give somebody. They don't know how important it is. Unless they're new believers, of course. You can give them a gift. But all of you here should invest in a good Bible. Fall in love with it. Read your Bibles. Don't ignore it. Don't muzzle the word of God. Share Bible verses online. What is God doing in your life? When you find a Bible verse, you know the best way to remember something is to share it. Say, Dad, I was reading the other day. Look, this is it. You know, if I come to you right now, it's like, what is God doing in your life? What are you learning in the Word? You should have something. What are you learning in the Word? It's like, what did you eat this morning? I didn't eat. What are you going to eat for lunch? No doubt. This is our food for our spirit. Do not muzzle it. Listen to it and share it. Then you will succeed. Remember, the word of God is powerful. The word of God will break the chains. The word of God will break the oppression over your life. The word of God will activate God's purpose in your life. Come on. The word of God will activate God's purpose in your life. You know, the word of God keeps me in line. The word of God will never be totally extinguished, even in our society. You know, it's like they took God's word out of the schools and they're bringing junk stuff, teaching our kids crazy stuff. Man, if only they would just, okay, I don't mind. You take the Bible, at least keep the book of Proverbs. My goodness, how much better our society and schools would be. Children don't respect authority. The word of God will never be extinguished. The word of God will accomplish all it is meant to accomplish, and all the promises of God in the scriptures. You know, the power of God's word will break the chains. Faith in Jesus will rise. Lives will be changed. And no power on earth or even the gates of hell will prevail against this. And that's why it says, Jesus, I am Jesus, the one with the two-edged sword. He is in our midst, and we will continue to honor this word, the word of God in our lives. Amen? Father, I thank you today for your word, Lord. And we believe it. We accept it. We believe it. We accept it, Lord. Father, I pray for the hearts that are here that have been just neglecting your word. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just change our hearts. Make us fall in love with your word. We want to succeed. We want to have a good life. So, but therefore, for us to have a good life, we need to live according to your word. Lord, we thank you that you are here. Jesus, King Jesus, with the two-edged sword. We welcome you, and I continue to give you space here to do the things you want to do. In your name I pray. Amen. So Let's stand together. We're going to go out with one more song. You are my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.